left off discussing the Gemara of Zayin and Beis, the difference between the Nusach HaBracha of Al and Le, the Gemara pointed out that there are various different factors, whether the bracha is considered to be a mitzvah which is la'atzma, as opposed to acherim, whether it's considered to be a chova, or whether it's considered to be a rishus. And the Gemara raises the issue, what about the bracha of Al Natilas Lulav? That certainly is considered to be la'atzma. The mitzvah of lulav is considered to be a chov, and therefore this is difficult according to the view of Rav Papi. Why is it that the bracha is al natilas lulav? And the Gemara answers the shani hasam lulav is quite different because, after all, v'de'idnet ba'ag b'hanafek be, that one was already yotze at the time that he went ahead and he picked up the dalid minim, and therefore this in essence is a bracha which is la'acharasiyasa. And therefore, that's a third factor. Not only atzma acherim, rishus nechova, but le is only if the bracha is over lasiyasa. And everyone would agree, if you're making a bracha after the fact, so in such a case, then it is considered to be a bracha of al. So Tosos immediately comments based on the Lashon HaBraisa. After all, the Gemara says, the Braisa tells us that Latzeispo Omer Al Natilas Lulav. And that phrase, Latzeispo, was somewhat unusual because it should be Yatzebo Mi Baile. No, the Braisa should say, given the fact that one was already Yotze, therefore you recite the Bracha of Al Natilas Lulav. The Gemara answers, you're right, but the Braisa used this language for purposes of consistency because when it comes to the case of Sukkah, there clearly the appropriate Lashon HaBraisa should in fact be that Nichnas Leishivba. And in such a case, a pale language was used when it comes to Dalet Minim as well. So Tosus points out that Latzeis means that one was not yet Yotze, and in principle that could still be applicable to the cases of Dalet Minim as well, because one could satisfy both of these conditions. Condition one, as Tosus writes, is that you cannot recite a bracha on a chefetz when it is munach bekli. After all, overlasiyasan means that one will now immediately perform the mitzvah, and therefore how can you recite a bracha where the object is out of reach and is not considered to be biyado, but yet midag beinafik be. So Tosus mentions two possibilities. One is the case of havchal, because the Gemara writes in Sukkah daf mem beis that if one is holding the dalid minim inappropriately, either it means the minim are upside down, or Havchal Rabbi Nachanan writes that you're holding it in the wrong hand, a chiddush, that even that is considered to be likuv as well, lo yatza. So therefore, if that's true, one could hold the dalid minim in such a manner that at once it is over lasiyas, and at the same time one as of yet was not yotze. Or Tosus mentions, what about the following case of Natlu Shalo Yotzeba? What happens if a person, right, takes the Dalet Minim not to be Yotze? And if you look at the Tosus in Sukkah Daf Lamites, Dvar Maschil Over, Tosus writes more explicitly, elaborating on the second possibility. It means that a person will take hold of the Dalet Minim, but expressly have in mind that he is not going to be Yotze. And Tosus writes, and even if one should assume that mitzvos Ein Srichos Kavana, a machlokes Amoraim, Rab Rab Zera, machlokes Tanaim, Rab Yosin the Chachamim. Yeah, that is true, min hastam. But if a person will expressly have in mind not to be Yotze, Tosus says, no one would say Yotze under those conditions because the Lashon of Tosus is Mikomakom Balkarcho Lo Nafik. You're not going to fulfill a mitzvah literally against your will. And in such a case, if you have Kavana not to be Yotze, one could solve that problem as well. The Chefetz is Biyodo. It is immediately at hand. It is Over Lasiyasam, but at the same time, one in fact was not Yotze. So this is a chiddush we pointed out of our Tosus, more explicitly the Tosus in Sukkah Daf Lamites, and this is what you find in the Tosus in Brachos and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is debating what is the Iker Kavanas HaBracha. Is it at the time that you're Masker Shem Shamayim, or is it at the time of the Chasima? Do you assume that Basar Psicha Zlinan, Basar Chasima Zlinan? Tosus raises the name of the Rimi Kinon, that what exactly is the question? What were you thinking? Good, you were thinking to make a different bracha, but mitzvos ein srichos kavana. So two possibilities. Tosus writes, again, this is parallel to our case. If your mind was blank, then one could argue mitzvos ein srichos kavana. But if you have kavana hafucha, kavana ledavar acher, when you said the Shem Hashem, the Shem and Malchus, you thought you were going to make a birchas hagefen, in such a case that is worse than min hastam, and in such a case one is not Yotze. So that's what Rabbi Yonah as well cites in Brachos, Daf Vav, Amud Aleph, and Daf Beharif, the sheet of the Bali Atosos, Rabbi Yonah continues and quotes another possibility, and that is, maybe one could argue that bracha, which is amira, that requires kavana. One could argue in the Tilas Lulav does not require kavana. Maybe Achilas Matzah does not require kavana. But Dibur Bali Kavana, right, that is only meaningful, right, if indeed a person realizes that which he is saying, and as such, maybe one could argue that is why kavana plays such a critical role when it comes to cases of bracha. So therefore, that is consistently the sheet of Tosus, that irrespective of mitzvos tzrichos or ein tzrichos kavana, if you have kavana hafucha, kavana l'davar acher, one certainly would not be yotzen. We pointed out that Rishonim disagree. If you look in the Ritva in our sugya, the Ramaschil v'Hilchosa, the Ritva writes that is not true, that mitzvah Saint Srichos Kavana means that b'dieved, we look at the act, we're not concerned with the mindset, and even if a person has expressed Kavana shalolatzeis, nonetheless, mitzvah Saint Srichos Kavana means that b'dieved, one in fact is Yotze, and this is what the Beis Yosef in Tavkuf Peites quotes, the name of the Ra'ah, that, again, as the sheet of the Ritva, that mitzvah Saint Srichos Kavana means you're Yotze categorically, even in a case where you have Kavana l'davar acher. So we started to discuss, right, the following issue, the kasha of Turi Evin. The Turi Evin is found in the main sugya of mitzvah Srichos Kavana, Rosh Hashanah Daf Choches Mad Beis, it's Dira Maschil Mitzvos. And here the Shagazaria in Turi Evin raises the following difficulty. If you look at that sugya that we left off, Erevin Dav Tzani Hey, it would appear that that is not the case, because there the Gemara describes one who is Motzei Tefillin, a person who finds Shabbos, finds Tefillin, and that it is in a location where it must, in fact, be moved, that one will easily, right, if you ignore the tefillin, it will easily result in a bizayon to the tefillin. Difficulty is how can you transport the tefillin from here to there without carrying the tefillin, without violating an issur of hotzah? So the emperor's answer simply is as follows, levisha. If a person will go in and wear it, just as he's not carrying his suit, he's not carrying his shirt, so therefore he's not carrying the tefillin, as long as it is derech levisha. If levisha was the only factor, then I would argue as follows. You can double up. You can go ahead and don two pairs of tefillin simultaneously, because that's exactly what the Gemara writes, that there is ample room in the shoyad and the shorosh to be able to wear two pairs of tefillin appropriately. So if the only issue was that we have to solve a derech levisha problem, we could carry two at a time. But yet, that is a machlokis tanaim. In that particular case of hamotzei tefillin, Tanakama says you cannot do so. That only machnisan zug zug, you can only transport one pair at a time. Achidish, despite the fact that there is ample room to wear both, you can't do that. You can either wear a shirt or a jacket, you can't wear both. You can only wear one pair of tefillin and no more. Otherwise, there would be an issur. Gamliel says, why is that? If there's room to be able to wear two pairs of tefillin, so therefore, you can wear two pairs of tefillin simultaneously, and you'll double your speed, you'll save the time necessary to go ahead and to safeguard the tefillin. So the Gemara writes, the Chiddush, that the Machlokes is regarding the issue of mitzvos trichos kavana, meaning as follows. There's another issue. It's not just simply an issue of derech levisha in order to avoid the issur of hotzah, but there's a further factor, and that is the issue of bal tosif. Now, is one allowed to go ahead and to wear two pairs of tefillin that are kosher, simultaneously? Or is that considered to be a problem of bal tosif? So why should that hinge on mitzvos trichos or mitzvos ein trichos kavana? The Gemara explains as follows. If, in fact, you were to hold that mitzvos trichos kavana, no, I'll tell you a simple thing. Don two pairs of tefillin. But you're not having in mind to be yotze. If a person were to ask you, why are you wearing tefillin today at Shabbos? The answer is, hamotzi tefillin. No, that I find it and I have to transport it to a safe area. One is not mechavein l'shem mitzvah, and therefore there's no bal tosif, and therefore one could wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time. However, if you hold mitzvos ein srichos kavana, so therefore it's not enough just not to have kavana, not to be yotze, and therefore you have no choice but, as Tanakhama says, machnisan zug zug. So the kasha that the Shagasari raises is the following issue. No, according to Ritva, you understand very well. The Ritva writes, if you hold mitzvah saint Srichos Kavana, Kavana is irrelevant. And regardless of anything that you think or do, nonetheless, you're going to be outside. But if you assume as Tosas and Arsugya, that's not true. If you have Kavana Shalol Atzeis, you're not going to be Otse. So therefore, couldn't one argue that Choser Kavana, the lack of Kavana, if you hold Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana, is analogous to inappropriate Kavana, Kavana Hafucha, if you hold Mitzvos Ein Tzrichos Kavana. That's the analogy of the Shagas Aryeh. So why is this an insurmountable problem? Just like you have Kavana, right, which is lacking if you hold mitzvahs trichos kavana, so you have kavana which is inappropriate if you hold mitzvahs ein trichos kavana. And therefore you should be able to come up with an easy way of carrying two pairs of tefillin simultaneously. That's the tzarech iyun of the Turi Eben. Good? The fact that the Gemara does not say this, and the fact that we insist, according to Tanakama, Achnis and Zugzug, that apparently means that whatever you do would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah, and therefore that encroaches on Baal Tosif, even if a person expressly has in mind that I do not want to fulfill the particular mitzvah. That's the tzarech iyun of Shagas Aryeh. So if you look in Rabbi Chanan, found in the Kobit Shiurim, in Chelek Beis, Simen Lam and Gimel, Osios, Beis and Gimel, here Rabbi Chanan writes the following distinction, the following chiddush. Is that analogy correct? Now that lack of kavana, according to he who holds mitzvos tzrichos kavana, is analogous to inappropriate kavana, according to the shita that mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. Is that analogy really true? So that's the chiddush Rabbi Chanan writes. He thinks that certainly is not the case. Why? Why would you distinguish? Rabbi Chanan argues as follows. If you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana, that means without kavana you can never be yotzei. What exactly does that mean? That a mitzvah without kavana is incomplete. Incomplete. You're not going to be yotzei if you just take a lulav and don't take an esrog. The mitzvah is incomplete. The mitzvah is absolutely impaired. The same thing is true if you hold mitzvos tzrichos kavana categorically. Kavana is critical. Without that you cannot be yotzei. So therefore, without kavana, the mitzvah is incomplete. Go a step further. Choser kavana, that is a chisaron that lacks in maisa ha-mitzvah. The maisa ha-mitzvah is incomplete. Is the same thing true, the chiddush of Artosus, of kavana shelo lotzeis, if you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana? So here Rabbi Chanan writes the following chiddush. No, that is not the case. That is not the case. If you hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, you cannot argue that kavana is an inherent, integral, intrinsic part of each and every mitzvah. Not true. That's not true. I can never be yotzei the mitzvah of dalet minim without an esrog. Esrog is an inherent part of that mitzvah. You can never be yotzei without kavana. Not true. Mitzvah saint tzrichos kavana. So you cannot argue that without kavana, zero, the mitzvah is so compromised, so impaired, that what you have done is absolutely nothing. That's only true if you hold mitzvah tzrichos kavana. If you hold mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavana, you cannot argue. You cannot argue that the maisa mitzvah is compromised, the maisa mitzvah is impaired. But doesn't also say that even if you hold mitzvah saint tzrichos kavana, kavana hafucha, you are not yotzei. Enachinami. You're not yotzei. You're not yotzei. In other words, that chisaron, according to our Tosus, of kavana hafucha, kavana ledavar acher, that is a chisaron not in maisa hamitzvah. That is a chisaron in kiyum hamitzvah. In other words, that despite the fact that you're right, the act is complete, but nonetheless, you will not be mekayim the mitzvah. You know, to use the language of Tosus, the Tosus in Sukkah Daf Lamedes, our Tosus, no? That bal korcho lo nafik. Bal korcho lo nafik. The Torah is not going to tell you if home is against your will. Religious persecution, you don't want to be Otze, you're not going to be Otze. If a person takes a lulav without an esrog, you wouldn't say bal karcha lo nafik. You would say, you haven't done the mitzvah. Zero, zero. Here, no, Tosfos is saying a different lumdus. To the bystander, what you've done looks absolutely fine. The maisa ha-mitzvah is absolutely intact. But you expressly stated you do not want to be otze, you're not going to fulfill a mitzvah against your will. In a word, that choser kavana, aliba demanda amar mitzvos, srichos kavana, is a chisaron in maisa ha-mitzvah. In kavana hafucha, if you hold mitzvos ein srichos kavana, is a chisaron in kiyum ha-mitzvah. In kiyum ha-mitzvah. That's the chiddush that Rabbi Chanan writes. Rabbi Chanan goes a step further. In order to go ahead and violate Bal Tosif, what do you need? What do you need? A kiyum ha-mitzvah. You don't require a kiyum ha-mitzvah to violate Bal Tosif. You need a kiyum ha-mitzvah to violate Bal Tosif. A person who goes ahead and sits in a sukkah on an extra day, that's singing Rosh Hashanah Chavches. He's mekayim a mitzvah. He's not mekayim any mitzvah whatsoever. A person who puts on, right, he's filled with five parashios. One who adds a bracha to Birchas Kohanim. That additional bracha, what a kiyum ha-mitzvah. You don't require a kiyum ha-mitzvah for Bal Tosif. What do you require? That's the Chiddush of Chanan Rais, that what you have done can be labeled as Maisa HaMitzvah. Maisa HaMitzvah. That's the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush that Rabbi Chanan suggests. Bal Tosif does not require a kiyum ha-mitzvah. But a Maisa HaMitzvah, yes. In other words, if what you have done is so impaired that it's zero, it's not even Bal Tosif. Maisa HaMitzvah is required. And that, he writes, is exactly the Chiddush. Right? Of that second Erevin, of Tzadi Hei. In order to violate Bal Tosif, you need that which otherwise would be Maisa HaMitzvah, Maisa HaMitzvah. So therefore, that's exactly what the Gemara writes. That if you hold mitzvos trichos kavana, very simply, just have in mind, right? You're not being yotze, blank. That impairs the maisa mitzvah. That's insufficient to violate Bal Tosif. However, if you hold mitzvos ein trichos kavana, the act speaks for itself, then you're going to violate Bal Tosif. That's a maisa ha-mitzvah. If you have kavana hafucha, you're not yotze, you're right. Bal korch l'nafik Tosif says, but the Maisa HaMitzvah is intact. The Maisa HaMitzvah does not require Kavana, and therefore you have no choice other than, according to Tanakama, Machis and Zugzug. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan points to the following. An example about Tosif, that's that Sugya in Rosh Hashanah Chavches, is one who sits in Sukkah, right? Literally, the Gemara says, Yoshim Bishmini B'Sukkah, on the eighth day, on the eighth day, Midaraisa. Right, there's no yeshiva b'sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Aside from Sveika Diyomi, you'll sit an extra day in sukkah. Nus, in such a case, that's considered to be a case of Bal Tosif. That's considered to be a case of Bal Tosif. Rochanan weighs the following issue. Let's assume, for example, the sukkah that you sat in on that extra day was a sukkah gzula. Would you violate Bal Tosif? You have a case of a sukkah gzula? That's the sugya. Right? In sukkah daftes, a sukkah gzula? You're not yotze with a sukkah gzula. I understand. But if a person were to go ahead and sit in that sukkah, chutz lizmana, would he invite this rav Bal Tosif? Would he invite this rav Bal Tosif? In other words, what is wrong with a sukkah gzula? What is wrong with a sukkah gzula? Are you yotze? No, you're not going to be yotze with a sukkah gzula. That's mafurish, the Gemara says. Chag ha-sukkos tasa lecha, lecha lehotzi yasa gzula. But the question in lamdus, no, is that a sukkah psula? If a sukkah gzula is zero, comparable to a sukkah psula, so in such a case, it's not even called a maisa ha-mitzvah. Without a maisa ha-mitzvah, one is not even going to violate Bal Tosif. But if you will argue that that is not true, that the sukkah is fully intact, if it's a sukkah gzula, you're right, you're not yotze yedei chavasa, you don't have to be yotze yedei chavasa to violate this rav Baltosif. It just has to be labeled as, right, meeting the conditions of Maisa HaMitzvah. Maisa HaMitzvah. And that, Rabbi Chanan writes, was a question he posed to Rabbi Chaim. Now, that case of Yoshe B'Shmini B'Sukkah, Baltosif, would that apply even to a case of a Sukkah Gzula? Then he writes that Rabbi Chaim was not Machriya. Rabbi Chaim heard both Sadim Rabbi Chanan, and he was not Machriya. Rabbi Chanan added that perhaps with this in mind, one could answer the Kasha of the Rishonim in Sukkah Davtes. That what is wrong with a Sukkah Gzula? The Gemara quotes a Gzeres HaKasa. A Gzeres HaKasa. Chaka Sukkah Tasa Lacha, Lacha Lahotzi Yasa Gzula. Tosus is immediately bothered. Why do you need a Gzeres HaKasa? What is wrong with Mitzvah HaBabi Avera? What do you need a Gzeres HaKasa for? What is wrong with Mitzvah HaBabi Avera? So Tosus writes a pretty astounding teretz, and that is that a Sukkah Gzula is zero Midaraisa. Midaraisa. But Mitzvah Bavavera is only a din Drabana. Wow, Chiddush. Mitzvah Bavavera is only Drabana. Only Drabana. And the real din Daraisa is Sukkah. If you look at Tosas later in Sukkah, right, Daflamin Amid Aleph, Tosas disagrees explicitly. Tosas assumes that the psul of Mitzvah Bavavera is a din Daraisa. A din Daraisa. We've often quoted the view in the Ritva, right? The Ritva, the Sukkah Daptes, the Kos name of Bali Atosas. Mitzvah Bavavera does not apply to all mitzvos. Only applies to a certain category of mitzvos. A mitzvah which is balar atzos, ritzui. And ritzui applies to karban. We discussed recently. Ritzui applies to dalid minim. But ritzui does not apply to sukkah. And therefore, we wouldn't necessarily have applied, right, the principle of mitzvah bavi aver, and that's why a pasuk, in fact, is necessary. Here Rabbi Chanan writes the following interesting chiddush. Maybe if you only had mitzvah babi avera, you would have argued the following. That, you know what? Mitzvah babi avera, and how do you finish the sentence? Well, mitzvah babi avera ain't no mitzvah. That's Lashon Yerushalmi. Mitzvah babi ain't no mitzvah. You're not mekayim a mitzvah if it was accomplished al yedei avera. Good. I agree. You're not mekayim a mitzvah. But for our lumdas, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. But is it called even a Maisa HaMitzvah? Is it called a Maisa HaMitzvah? Either Mainaf Gamina, whether it's a Maisa HaMitzvah, or whether it just lacks a Kiyum HaMitzvah? No, the answer is Baltosif. Baltosif. To violate Baltosif, you don't require a Kiyum HaMitzvah, but a Maisa HaMitzvah is in fact required. If you were to argue Mitzvah Bavavera, maybe one could argue that Mitzvah Bavavera ain't a mitzvah. Ain't a mitzvah. But the Maisa HaMitzvah is not impaired. There's no Kiyum HaMitzvah. If a person performs a mitzvah through the vehicle of Avera, Lo Yatsa Yedei Chavasa. Yetzias Yedei Chavasa. Kiyum. But not necessarily that we wouldn't even label it as a Maisa HaMitzvah at all. And Rabbi Chanan adds that maybe that's why the Pasuk then is necessary. Chaka Sekos Tasa Lecha, to tell us, aside from mitzvah baber, which is only halach in terms of kima mitzvah, maybe this is not called a sukkah kshere at all. And therefore, there would be no iser baltosiv sitting in the sukkah gzula an additional day. It's not even called yeshiva basukkah. It's not called a maisa hamitzvah. The non minchas chinuch in shin chafei, right, introduces, right, not an identical, but a similar in terms of lamdas, that maybe there are two halves to the mitzvah of sukkah. There's a mitzvah sachila when one is soed basukkah. There's a mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah. And there is an isra of achila chutz the sukkah. So if you have a sukkah psula, not only is it that you did not fulfill, but also that you have eaten outside of the sukkah. If you have a sukkah gzula, mitzvah babi avera, certainly you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. But one go as far as to say that it's comparable to achila chutzlus. It's like eating in the house. It's like eating in a sukkah psula. And Chasina writes the Chiddush, maybe that's why we require the pasul. Because perhaps mitzvah babi aver simply means that lo yatsi yadei chavasa. But maybe it is not comparable to eating chutzlus sukkah or eating besoch habayis. And maybe that's the Chiddush of the pasul, that a sukkah psula is considered to be Right, the case of a sukkah gzula is a sukkah psula, right? That instance. Maybe that's why a pasuk is in fact necessary. But it's a beautiful bira Bachanan has to explain the machlokas in our daf. Tosus in the Ritva. Right, to what extent kavanah l'varacha is considered to be irrelevant? Or do we assume that that in fact, right, is not? We had mentioned that when you look in the Mechaber and Tav Reish Nun Aleph and Sif Hey, the Mechaber quotes our Tosus, right, the brachos issue, that, oh, yafocha esrog, if one turns over the esrog, in that case, as of yet one is not yotze. And if you look in the Bir HaGra, Sif Katan Tesvav, the Bir HaGra writes, ein tzrichin lazeh. All right. You don't need this eitzah. Why? Kamosha kosev paragalov de psachim. Meaning, our Gemara. What eitzah is this, turning upside down? What do you mean turning upside down? Right, the Gemara writes that why is the Nusach HaBracha Al, isn't it a kasha against Rav Papi? The Gemara answers, yeah, you're already Yotze when you pick it up, and that's why the Chachamim were Koveh the Bracha of Al Natilas Lulav. So that's what the Gon points out, that why do you need this Eitzah? Why do you need the Eitzah of flipping it over, and now it's no longer Derek Gedilasan in order to what? Poshav Shatnar Gemara, the whole Takana of bracha in Dalet Minim is like tefillah, where the bracha is la'achar asiyasa, and then the Gon adds the following ha'ara v'gam ha'hipuch eino ma'wil, and turning over the esrog, that's lashna machaber, that also doesn't help because shemavarech al halulav, for whatever reason the Gemara describes that in Sukkah, right, the bracha is on lulav because the lulav is together with hadasim and arabos, so that is right, the abundance of the mitzvah. But the Nusach HaBracha reflects al netilas lulav, al netilas lulav. So how does turning over the esrog in fact help? And then the Gon writes later in that piece that hatsad hayoser tov, if one really wants to solve the entire issue, is very simply kavana shalolatzeis. Right, the other possibility. And Tosus, what Tosus writes expressly. Right, in Sukkah Daf Lamed Tes, right, if you have kavanah not to be yotze until after the bracha is mentioned, in that instance, one no doubt would solve that problem of overlasiyasam, and yet allow the chayfetz to be in your hand at the time of the bracha. In terms of the lamdus of whether kavanah hafucha makes a difference, or whether you would assume even b'chi ha'gavna mitzvah saint srichos kavana. So perhaps one could argue the machlokis is as follows, that how do you understand this possibility of mitzvos ein srichos kavana? Here Rabbi Chanan points out, it's found in Esven Daraisa in Klal Chaf Gimel. And that is, why is it that we assume mitzvos ein srichos kavana? If mitzvos einon srichos kavana means that kavana is irrelevant, then of course, ideally, one should have in mind. But all of that is in terms of l'chachila, mitzvah namuvchar, bottom line, the maisa ha-mitzvah is primary. Well, if that's true, then midrabanan, b'di'evet, we'll ignore the kavana, whether it's lack of kavana, whether it's kavan hafucha, and therefore mitzvah saint srichos kavana. But Yosef Engel points out another possibility, and that's utilizing the phrase the Gemara states in Zvachim Daf Beis Amud Beis, that maybe one could argue stamalishma. No one is going to say kavana salev is irrelevant. And we're not going to argue that Kavanah Salev is just icing on the cake, a mitzvah and muvchar. Kavanah is critical. Kavanah is necessary. But maybe one could argue, you know, that sometimes your actions speak volumes. Implicit in the asiyas ha-mitzvah is Kavanah. Now, the Kohen is in the Azara. He's wearing Big Day Kohuna. He can only wear Big Day when the Ram writes Peshas Avoda. See, even if his mind wanders, but isn't it obvious from circumstance that his intent is that this should be l'shem avoda? And even if it's not overt, but covert, kavana is considered to be sufficient. There's a latent awareness, a latent awareness. And that's considered to be sufficient. Tosfos writes, in Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph, right? The person stops learning, you engage yourself in a different activity, and then later on you learn once again, a few hours later, you don't repeat Birchas HaTorah. Right? Why not? Because Tosfos says, what do you mean? Hefsik? La'olam eno miayish daito himeno. There wasn't a lapse. Does it mean that when you were engaged in that second activity, that the awareness was as acute as when a person was osek b'Torah? No, but nonetheless, right, there was, right, a latent awareness. That's also considered to be sufficient. So you're right, ideally when a person is performing a mitzvah, it should be in the forefront of his mind, but even if it's not, right, nonetheless we can assume a principle of a stam lishma. If that's true, stam lishma, so maybe one now can distinguish, as our Tosfos does and argue as follows, that stam lishma kipshuto, that's stam lishma, min hastam, stam. Stam means without. We can argue that if a person's mind is wandering, so therefore implicit in the Maisa Mitzvah's Kavana. But would we assume the concept of a stam lishma when a person expressly is having in mind not to be yotzei? Not to be yotze. A person has kavana hafucha, kavana ledavar acher. That also says, bal korcho lo nafik. So if it means kavana is irrelevant b'dieved, the ritvan are sugya, the ra'ah. If you assume a stam lishma, so therefore there's a world of difference between stam, right, as opposed to express kavana, not to be yotze. So perhaps that's part of this fundamental machlokes, how you understand mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. Mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, the chiddush of astam lishma. I would suggest that perhaps this chakir is relevant for a further nafkamina. And that is as follows. When you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, that's where the Rambam writes that if a person eats matzah bli kavana, he is yotzei. So if you look in Magid Mishnah writes, again, Chametz HaMatzah Vav Gimel, that's true. The person didn't have express kavana yistoy yotzei, but there is a certain base knowledge that we require. Shehu yodea shahalai lehu Pesach. Well, he has to be aware that it's Pesach. And he has to be aware that there is such a mitzvah called eating matzah. In other words, you know that there's a mitzvah of matzah. And you know that tonight is Pesach. And you know that this is matzah. In other words, the base facts you're really aware of. If a person were to say to you, that's matzah, you wouldn't respond and say, I thought this was challah. Right? That would not be your response. A person will say to you, it's matzah? Of course I know it's matzah. Then and only then, if those base facts are known, but you didn't expressly have in mind the hinin muchan mazumon, that through this achila I'm fulfilling the mitzvah berav toch lamatzos, that's when you can argue that mitzvah saint srikos kavana. But the Magid Mishnah writes, right, short of that, one would not be yotzei. One would not be yotzei. If you look in the Ran is found in Rosh Hashanah, Dav Zayin Amud Beis and Dav Yarif, Dir Maskel Garsinan. The Ran quotes this chiddush of the Magid Mishnah in the name of the Ra'a. In the name of the Ra'a. There's something you have to know. Something you have to know. Without it, not. Perhaps that also is based on our issue. If one were to assume that mitzvah saint srichos kavana means that kavana is irrelevant, then perhaps one could argue, Irrelevant. Not true. Not true. The bottom line is Maisa HaMitzvah. But if you will argue a Stoma Lishma, now maybe one could very reasonably argue that even Stoma Lishma requires a certain degree of awareness. Stoma Lishma means implicit in the act is Kavana. Yeah, implicit in the act is Kavana if, right, if you know what's Pesach, and you know this is matzah, and you know that there's a mitzvah berach tov lematzos. A person has never heard of the mitzvah achilas matzah. You're going to argue that implicit in his achila is what? He never heard of such a thing. So perhaps that, right, is a further nafkamina. The difficulty, of course, if that really is true, one is faced then with the stira in the ra'ah. The Ra'ah splits these cases. Again, not muchach, that A and B have to line up. But the Ra'ah is the one who assumes, as the Ritva and Arsugi, that HaKavana HaFucha, you are Yotze. And the Ra'ah is the one who assumes that base knowledge is necessary. Not such a stira, right? One could argue that the two are not necessarily fully Hobotalia. I'll give you an example. If you look in the Tori Evin, in Rosh Hashanah Chav Ches, Dermaskel Amar Rabashi, there the Tori Evin writes, if you have no clue, you don't even know that it's Pesach, you've never heard of Pesach, you've never heard of Matzah, that is Misasek. That is called Misasek. And Misasek, Lo Yatzah. If it's misasek, yeah, one could argue that, of course, that's nothing at all. If you want to apply the structure that we previously mentioned, the Rabbah Chana, no? Kavana hafucha is not misasek. No, we just got through saying that. No, you'd violate Baltosif. Kavana hafucha is not misasek. Kavana hafucha means that the act is intact, but it's insufficient. Oh, insufficient. You can be able to say, right? You can buy this Rabbah Tosif. But when do you assume that that's true, that it is a Maisa HaMitzvah? Maybe if there's a base awareness. If the person is unaware that this is Matzah, he thinks he's eating Chametz. So in such a case, one could argue that's considered to be Misasek, and in such an instance, one would not be Yotze. One could suggest that is a stira in the Ra'ah. So this concept of Stam Lishma is relevant to Kavan Hafucha, relevant to base Kavana, maybe relevant to a further issue. We mentioned that Rambam, Paraglav Halacha Gimel Chami Samatza, where the Rambam writes that when it comes to Achilas Matzah, Mitzvahs Ein Tzrichos Kavana. The difficulty, Magid Mishnah already points out, this is a tshuva of Rabbeinu Avram Benoshel HaRambam, the Rambam's son, points this out, a steer in the Rambam. You look in Hilchos Shofar, in Perek Beis, Halacha Dalid, there the Rambam speaks of the need for Kavana when it comes to Tekiah Shofar. So that's the kasha Magen Mishnah raises. Tzrichos or ain't Tzrichos Kavana? Apparently, according to the Rambam, the answer is Matzah, yes. Right. Matzah, we would argue, mitzvah saint tzrichos kavana. Shofar requires kavana. So why exactly do you distinguish? Not so clear. Magid Mishnah suggests that the difference is active versus passive. And he links this, the Magid Mishnah, to the Rambam Shita, that the mitzvah of shofar is shmiyas hakol. So maybe there's a difference between achilas matzah as opposed to shmias hakol. If there is an absolute, concrete maisa hamitzvah, then one could argue that mitzvah ain't tzrichos kavana. If, however, you're just talking about passive shmia, then even the Rambam would argue that mitzvah tzrichos kavana. Perhaps one could suggest that if you're distinguishing an active mitzvah does not require a kavana, passive mitzvah does require a kavana. You see, kavana is not irrelevant. Irrelevant. If kavana is absolutely irrelevant, so why should I argue this yes, that no? Maybe the difference is exactly this lambdas. No? Stam lishma. Kavana is fully relevant, but kavana is implied. Kavana is supplied through. So, supplied through what? No? Maybe the answer is that point. Maisa ha-mitzvah. Maisa ha-mitzvah. And maybe one could argue that in order to argue the stam lishma, some maisa ha-mitzvah is necessary. If there's no indication of, a person is walking down the street and he hears, because the window is open, a kol shofar, implicit in what? Implicit in his walking down the street is kavana? Obviously not. And therefore, perhaps that can be a basis of distinction. Active, yes. Passive, how can you argue? A stam lishma is indicated through his passivity. Maybe that's a further difference. A further difference. See, all of this is utilizing a stam lishma to explain why you would assume mitzvos ein srichos kavanah. If you look in Chayadam, the Chayadam is found in Klal Samaches, right, in Siftes. This is an section which the Chayadam calls Hilchos Zehiros B'mitzvos. Right? Also fascinating, right? These are the halachos of passionate enthusiasm, meticulousness when it comes to mitzvos. Good? So here the Chayadam writes the concept of Stam Lishma. But interestingly, he writes Stam Lishma to explain mitzvos Tzrichos Kavanah. Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavanah. Well, that's the Chiddush of Chayada. In other words, when do you assume Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavanah? When do you assume Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavanah? Tokei Lashir. Now, a person just happens to be blowing the shofar. Or Kafu Vocha Matzah. Or you're forced to eat matzah. In other words, if there's a competing mindset. Why am I eating the matzah? Because you're forced. Why are you sounding the shofar? I'm just fooling around. It's okay, l'shir. That's when we assume mitzvos tzrichos then you're not yotzi. Then you're not yotzi. But the chiddush that the Chayadam writes is, let's assume you're not dealing with that case. You're not dealing with the case of kafu v'ochal matzah. Someone is forcing you, right? You eat or else. No, no, no. We're not talking about a case of tokei l'shir. We're talking about a person who's sitting around the Seder. We're talking about a person who's sitting in shul. But when they're tokei b'shofar, when he eats the matzah, he doesn't expressly have in mind that I am being yotzei this mitzvah daraisa. Chayadam writes the chiddush that you would be yotzei even if you assume mitzvah srichos kavanah. Because stam lishma. No, the circumstances speak volume. If it's kafu v'chamatzah, the circumstances do not speak volume. Why are you eating? Forced. Tokei l'shir. Why are you being tokei b'shir? I'm practicing. But if the guy's kind of daydreaming, and you'll ask him, why are you in shofar tokei shofar? I'll tell you the reason. Because of the mitzvah. That's the chiddush that the Chayadam writes. Again, it invokes the concept of a stam lishma, but interestingly, right, even aliba demanda amar that mitzvos tzrichos kavanah. In other words, the pashav shat, according to Chayadam, mitzvos ein tzrichos kavanah means irrelevant. And therefore, it can apply even in tokei l'shir and even in cases of kuvah chomatzah. Mitzvos tzrichos kavanah means in such circumstance. But min hastam, well, we would assume that stam lishma. The Prima Gaudim raises an interesting suffix. This Prima Gaudim is found in Hilchos Kriyashma. It's in the Eishel Avram in Simen Samach. because that's where the Mechaber quotes the Machlokas for the mitzvah strichos, the mitzvah saint strichos kavana. Simin Samach of Achos Kriyashma. So the Prima Gadam writes, Eish Labram, Simin Samach, in Sivkat and Gimel. Just a suffix. Whether in fact mitzvos tzrichos kavana is necessary, midaraisa. When we assume mitzvos tzrichos kavana, is that true? Me ikar hadin daraisa. And that the Prima Gadam leaves as a suffix. He writes that ka'es lo matzasi im min ha-Torah mitzvos daraisa tzrichos kavana. Of suing mitzvos tzrichos kavana, is that necessary as a din daraisa? Or do we assume the Chachamim insisted on that level of kavana? And the Prima Gadam writes that if you look in the Rashbam is found later in Psafim, Kuf Yudal Mabez, he writes that the Rashbam seems to indicate that kavana is necessary midaraisa. It's not so muchach if you look in the Rashbam. That's what the Prima Gadim writes. But if you look, for example, in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, there in Hilchos Kriyas Shema Siman Samach, Shulchan Aruch Harav is explicit that mitzvah strichos kavana is a din daraisa. If you look in the Levush, Levush also writes in Siman Samach v'Chos Kriyas Shema it's a din daraisa. Levush there writes to take a look at what he wrote in Siman Tavkuf Peites, that Yalfinan Mikra. Just look later, Tavkuf Pasuk. Again, you look later. Levush doesn't quote any pasuk, right? Tavkuf Peites. But Levush writes it's a din daraisa. It's based on Gzeiras HaKasuv. The Prima Gadim later, there, in Tavkuf Peites, that's Hilchos Shofar. There, the Prima Gadim does assume la halacha daraisa. Because there, the Prima Gadim just writes, not referring to the whole issue earlier, the Prima Gadim writes, let's say you have a suffix. Well, that's unusual. All right, person has a suffix. Did I have kavana? Did I have kavana? Person's kind of second guessing himself, no? When I heard Shofar earlier in the day, did I really have kavana, not have kavana? Let's assume it's really a case of such a suffix. So how do you pask on that particular issue? So here the Prima Gadim writes that we treat that as Sveika Daraisa L'chumra, and you have to hear the Tekiya Shofar again. In other words, the need for kavana, right, that is something which, in fact, is critical. That's part of this machlokes, Tosus and the Ritva, regarding kavana hafucha, kavana ledavar achet. Right. Here our Gemara points out this kasha regarding Netilas Lulav. That why is it that the Nusa Bracha is al? One would have argued it should be le, it should be lito. In fact, as mentioned, you look in the Rambam, in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam writes, if for whatever way, like Tosus, for whatever way a person is indeed not being Yotzei until after the Bracha, then the Bracha should be lito lulav. And the reason it's on the Tilas Lulav is because this is generally true of a bracha which is la'achar asiyasa. A bracha which is la'achar asiyasa. So on the Tilas Lulav is achar asiyasa. The Gemara writes that true when it comes to tevila, at least tevila regarding geirus, it's a bracha which is la'achar asiyasa. Tosus mentions in one day in Brachos and Daf Nun Aleph Al Netilas Yadayim. It's after the Netila, and therefore the Nusach HaBrachas Al Netilas Yadayim. But you see clearly from the Gemara the following, and that is that a Berachas HaMitzvah can be recited even Lachar Asiyas as well. Even though the Gemara is going to tell us over la'asiyasa, yes. Generally, over la'asiyasa. But a berachas ha-mitzvah is meaningful la'achar asiyasa. And the Or Zeruah goes a step further. The Or Zeruah is found in Simen Chav Hei, that if that is true lechatchila in these cases, Al Natilas Lo, that was the Takana. In the case of Gerus, that was the Takana, what the Gerus is going to recite a bracha before the tefillah. He's not yet Jewish. If that was the Takana when it comes to Natilas Yadayim, that the bracha is Al Natilas Yadayim because it's Zachar Asiyasa, because the Tosus writes, it's not appropriate to make the bracha when Yadayim Askani Yosein. Your hands are dirty, then you're making a bracha, and then you're washing. So if that is true lechatchila in these cases, because there is a competing factor, so b'dieved, that's true in all cases. In other words, you see that a bracha is chal even lachar asiyasa. So in these cases, it's chal lachar asiyasa, and therefore this is what you should do. In all other cases, why should you do that? The din lechatchila is over l'asiyasa, but b'dieved, you'd be out, say, even lachar asiyasa as well. And that is the shita for Zeruah that Berachas HaMitzvah came recited. La'achar asiyasa. La'achar asiyasa. That's the chiddush of Zeruah. Two chiddushim, right, of this Zeruah. Number one is the shita of Zeruah, that a Berachas HaMitzvah can be recited la'achar asiyasa. Number two, not for us right now, but it shouldn't go unmentioned, the context there is a Ruah. Simen Chafei is Kriyashma. The context of the Ruah is Kriyashma. That's also pretty important, no? In other words, a person was already Yotzei Kriyashma. Can he now recite the Berachos Kriyashma? So Or Zeruah writes, of course you can recite Berachah, for whatever reason, you recited Kriyat Shema earlier. So now you're after Yishtabach, Kriyat Shema Berachosah, what right do you have to recite Berachos Kriyat Shema? You already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? Oh, so that's the Or Zeruah, because you can recite a Berachos HaMitzvah, L'achar HaSiyasa. Wow, that's a Chiddush. Because even if one were to disagree with position one of the Zeruah, you could still argue that Birchos Kriyashma may be recited La'achar Kriyashma, because Mehechatei say that we treat Birchos Kriyashma as a Birchos HaMitzvah. Maybe Birchos Kriyashma is part of the Kiyum of Tefillah, in which case, in the Miskeres HaTefillah, you can recite Birchos Kriyashma even if you're already Yotzei Kriyashma. You see a couple of chidushim, therefore, according to the Zeruah, that number one is the Berachas HaMitzvah can recite La'achar HaSiyasa. Number two, an example of this, is Berachas Kriyashma. In other words, that the Zeruah treats Berachas Kriyashma as the Berachas HaMitzvah. It's a separate sheet, right? What is the role? You can take a look at the Ramban at length, the very beginning of Maseches Brachos. What is the nature of Birchos Kriyashma? Is it not at all a Birchos HaMitzvah? Is it, as the Zohar assumes, a Birchos HaMitzvah? Maybe one could argue, two kiyumim. The Brachos obviously relate to Kriyashma, but above and beyond, it's part of a Kima Tefillah as well. Right? But for us, right, the Chiddush of Zohar, Birchos HaMitzvah can be recited La'achar asiyasa. This is also quoted in the Hagos Asheri, right, the beginning of Maseches Chulin, right, Perek Aleph Simin Yud Dalet, the Shita of Or Zeruah, the allowance of a Birchas HaMitzvah La'achar asiyasa. Lengthy discussion in Shach, right, Yerodea Simin Yud Tes, where the Shach points out, you know, sometimes this can be very, very meaningful, very helpful. Let's assume you have reason to believe that this animal is a trefa. And let's assume we don't recite a bracha on a shechita shtreifa, because the shechita is not going to result in a heter achila. It is true that a shechita shtreifa does accomplish something, right? Because if the treifa dies, it has a tuma daraisa, but tumas mevela. If it's shachut, even if it's a treifa, right, it will not be metame midei nevela. But nonetheless, let's assume that the bracha and shchita is on the heter achila, not on the fact that it is motzi midei tumas nevela. In this animal, I have reason to believe it's a treifa. But you know what? I'm not going to know whether it is or is not a treifa until after the shchita. Once the shchita is done, you know, I can start investigating a little bit. I will do some tests. I'll look at all the different organs and see if they're intact, if they're impaired. But you can't do that before the shchita. So that's the discussion in Shach. Can one go ahead and do the shchita? And then after you see that the animal is fully intact and that now that the basar is mutter b'achila, can you make a bracha now? A bracha la'achar asiyasa. In a case where, not exactly like tefillah sager, where it always must be la'achar asiyasa, but in this particular case, advantageous to go ahead and to do so. So important, again, the sheet of the Rezerua, that a berchas hamitzvah la'achar asiyasa. According to the view of Or Zeruah, apparently there's a marked difference between a berchas hamitzvah as opposed to a berchas hanenim. Because even the Or Zeruah who allows for a berchas hamitzvah l'achar asiyasa, the Or Zeruah acknowledges the sugyan brachos and daf nun aleph that one does not recite a berchas hanenim l'achar asiyasa. A person all of a sudden realizes now that he ate without a bracha. Well, if he's continuing eating, of course recite a bracha now on the balance, on the remaining achila. But a person finished, and he realizes he didn't recite a bracha, what you tell the person to make a bracha now. So the Rezerua acknowledges that what is true of a berchas hamitzvah is not true of a berchas hanenim. And the one who disagrees is the Rambam. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, here in our parak, in Parak Yud Aleph, Halacha Hey, the Rambam writes that over la'asiyasan is le'ikuva. That's not just a din l'chatchila. One cannot recite the bracha la'achar asiyasan. Only over la'asiyasan. Only over la'asiyasan. And now you'll ask me, what about our case of Netilas Lulav? What about a case of Tefillas Hager? You're right. Those are exceptional cases where a bracha cannot be recited over l'asiyasa. And in those instances, Chazal were koveya the bracha l'achar asiyasa. But short of those exceptional examples, when a bracha should have been recited over l'asiyasa and was not, you do not have the recourse to recite the bracha la'achar asiyasa. In other words, Pashup Shat, according to the Rambam, what is true of a birchas hanenin is also true of a birchas hamitzvah. And in fact, one has to be careful bringing such rayas, but a fact, the Rambam writes you can't recite a birchas hamitzvah l'achar asiyasa, and the fact that according to the Rambam you cannot recite a birchas hanenin l'achar asiyasa. So a fact that the Rambam equates the two. You look in the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam writes, "Ku k'shem shemivarchin al hahana, kach mivarchin al kol mitzvah mitzvah." The Rambam himself writes this analogy. That just as you recite a birchas hanenin, so too you recite a birchas hamitzvah. Yeah, according to the Rambam, quite similar in the sense that in both cases there's no allowance for la'achar asiyasa. See, because one could certainly argue as follows, right? This will have to begin discussing. How do you envision a bracha after the fact? And perhaps the answer is very simply this. What is driving the chiyuv bracha? What is driving the chiyuv bracha? Why is it that a bracha is necessary? What is its kiyum? Well, clearly there are brachos that are achar asiyasa. You know, if the model of a bracha is birchas hamazon, that's not over asiyasa. And the answer would be as follows. Well, look, birchas hamazon is a form of a birchas hodah, a birchas shevach v'hodah. Yeah, shevach and hodah is fully relevant, is fully applicable after the fact. What is wrong with a person experiencing and then thanking? What is wrong with hodah la'achar ha'asiyah? It's not obvious that that's true. But if somehow what is driving a bracha is not hodah or not merely hodah, for example, that the sugyan brachas and daf lamed hey, that a bracha serves as a form of a matir, that kol hanene bla bracha ki'ilu ma'al, la'shem haretzim lo, varas nasni bni adam, a bracha is a form of a netilas rishus, kind of makes sense that netilas rishus should be over la'asiyasin, not a netilas rishus after the fact. A person was notel b'li rishus, and the purpose of bracha is doing tshuva. Netilas rishus, you understand very well, over la'asiyasin, over la'asiyasin. If that's true, very mistaber, for example, as Orzaro, that one could argue, isn't there a marked difference between a birchas hamitzvah as opposed to birchas hanenin? A birchas hanenin, which serves as matir, perfect sense, that's over la'asiyasa. But the birchas shevach, a birchas hodah, that could be applicable even la'achar asiyasa as well. And hence you understand the significant difference between birchas hamitzvah as opposed to a birchas hanenu. How do you understand a matir la'achar asiyasa? But the matir is chal l'mafreya. But shevach, you understand very well. You don't have to kick in the mafreya. Shevach is appropriate even la'achar asiyasa as well. We'll have to see then what exactly is indeed by the shita of the Rambam. What's fascinating is if you take a look at the sugya brachos and the nun aleph, so maybe tomorrow we'll take a look at that sugya, that's in fact where the Gemara discusses the possibility of a birchas hanenin la'achar ha'achila, la'achar ha'achila. And what the Gemara writes in Brachos and Daf Nun Aleph sounds quite shocking. The Gemara writes, you cannot recite the bracha, Birchas Hanenin la'achar ha'achila. To me, that makes perfect sense. No, perfect sense. That's what Ravina says. How can you make a Birchas Hanenin la'achar ha'achila? Ravina, very good, very good. But just the following ha'ara. This is the Chiddush of Ravina. But not all Amoraim agreed. This was against the earlier day in the Gemara. And furthermore, when Ravina explains that you cannot recite the Birchas Hanenin Ma'achar Ha'achila, Ravina explains the Shita. An explanation sounds shocking. Now, why can't you do that? Why can't? I would have said very simply, but what is driving the Birchas Hanenin is Matir, Netilas Rishus. Netilas Rishus is Me'ikara, it is not B'dievet. Makes sense? That's not what Ravina says. Ravina writes, you know why you can't recite a bracha La'achar ha'achila? Ho'il v'idche idche. Dichui. Dichui. Wow, dichui. It's a sugi and sukkah of Lama Gimel. Dichui? You have to invoke dichui? right? Dichui, you have a case of niktam rosho me'erav yontif, oslo tarm biyontif, or niktam rosho biyontif, oslo tarm biyontif. Complicate, you have an esrog that was missing its top, and a berry grew on yontif. Can I use it now? Oh, no, no. Dichui dictates that when the yontif commences, it was labeled already as, right, a hadas posel b'cheftza, so therefore, that status maintains itself. Ho ve'idche idche. Dichoy, achidish. That's what's going on here. Someone will ask you, what's wrong with making a bracha after you eat? And the answer is dichoy. Dichoy. Once the cheftze is pasul, so the psul remains. That sounds very unusual. Why do you have to invoke dichui? And there are details of dichui. Now, why is that so necessary? Dichui is such a complicated answer. Why do you have to come out to dichui at all? Just simply say that the purpose of a bracha is a matir, and it's too late. What do you mean? You're matir la'achar ha'achila? How does that work? That's a difficulty. No, why did Ravina feel that he has to justify his shita, right, in terms of dichui? You know, if it's subject to dichui, you know, there are different levels of dichui. There's dichui meikara, and there's something called nirev inidche. Pretty unusual. Why should that be? If you can take a look at the Rav Paramchik, when the time in the Briskrav, Emek Bracha. It's found in the halachos of Birchas Hanenin Os Aleph. He addresses this issue. Why in the world do you have to invoke dichui to explain something that seems to be so simple that you can't make a Birchas Hanenin, Lachar Shanenin? See, if somebody were to tell you this about a Birchas HaMitzvah, okay, I understand why dichui maybe is necessary. Because in principle, see, the starting point of dichui is that the starting point is, yes, you should be able to do so. So yeah, I would argue, what's wrong with a Birchas HaMitzvah, which is L'achar Asiyasa? What's wrong with it? I don't know. Let's take a look at the Ritva and Arsugya, 2 days. Why do you need over L'Asiyasa? Maybe it could depend on the 2 days in the Ritva. Whether the starting point is, obviously you can recite one afterwards. But I can hear that svara when it comes to a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's a chiddush when it comes to Birchas Hanenin and that possibility. And what's interesting is when you look at that Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Aleph, the Gemara equates a Birchas HaMitzvah with a Birchas HaMitzvah, with a Birchas Hanenin. The Gemara equates the two. So I have to say, apparently there is a link, like that Rambam's Geshem Shemavarchim. Apparently there is such a link. So we'll have to discuss this. These cases of dichui, and then we'll discuss the Ritva, the cases of the overlas yasa, why is overlas yasa necessary, and then we'll continue with the Tosus here, and again that lengthy Tosus in Sukkah Daf Lamed Tes. What about cases of Meshach HaSiyasa? That's as soon as the Rambam Shita, the mitzvah is completely finished. The mitzvah is completed, you can't recite a bracha. Yeah, but what about during the duration of? And then, how do you define the duration of? Let's say, our case in the Gemara, Lulav and Esra. What is the duration of Lulav and Esra? You'll make a bracha now, I understand. And you're going to do Nanuim and Hallel. You're going to have Hoshanos. If you were of that great class of Anshei Yerushalayim, you'd be Notal Dalaminim Kol Hayom. So even if I assume the concept of Meshech HaSiyasa, how far does that continue, right, in those particular cases? Right, so if you can, take a look at that Sugya Brachas, take a look at the Emek Bracha, and take a look at the Ritva and our Sugya, or what exactly is the Hagdara at Dover HaSiyasa.